We just heard Jesus telling his disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus told them this on his last night with them. Jesus was saying goodbye, but he was also trying to prepare them for the challenges ahead. And he doesn't pull any punches in what he is trying to teach them. He describes this reality. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. But whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Jesus, in saying these words, is not trying to threaten his friends. Jesus is simply describing the reality of our need to be connected. Connected to our truest selves, connected to one another, connected to God. The author of the first letter to John is even more explicit about what is at stake for us in either being connected or not connected. He describes God as love, the kind of perfect love that casts out fear. And then he writes, those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. In other words, here's the challenge. Will we go through life open to others, open to opportunities to care and to serve? Or will we close ourselves off from others either out of irrational fear or imagined injury? The stakes are indeed enormous. Which reminds me of one of my absolute favorite stories I love to tell. It's set in a fairly rural town where the gas station was one of the local meeting places. So a young girl is sitting in front of the station with her grandfather, the proprietor. A man pulls up and starts filling up his car. While he's waiting, he walks over to the old man and asks him, what's it like in your town? And he goes on to say, I'm being transferred to an office not far from here, but I hate to leave where I'm living now. I love my neighborhood. Everybody is so friendly and we all take care of one another. What's it like here? The old man looked up to him and said, that's pretty much how it is here, too. The visitor drove away more hopeful than he had been. So another car pulls up, and it turns out to be another person in transition. He also spooked the grandfather, but his story was very different. I'm looking for a new place to live, and I can't wait to get out of where I am now. Nobody does anything for anybody. I walk past people and there's no word of greeting. No one says hello. What's it like around here? The old man looked up at him and said, sorry to say, it's just about like that in our town. And that man drove away a little more discouraged than he had been before. Well, the little girl was confused. And so she asked the grandfather, why did you tell those two people two different stories about our town? Because, said her grandfather, you take yourself with you wherever you go. I hear the echoes of today's epistle and gospel in that story. Which person is abiding in the love of God for neighbor? Which person is cutting himself off from the vine of God's love? Which person do we, each of us, identify with? Or maybe somewhere in between? So Sometimes it's hard to recognize when we're cutting ourselves off from other people, when we're isolating ourselves. For example, social media is a mixed blessing in this area. Oh, it's wonderful to be connected to others instantaneously wherever we are. But are we losing deeper ways of connecting and communicating? I can't get the image out of my head of four people sitting around a restaurant table, none of them looking at each other, all of them staring at their phones. And we know there are other reasons that we begin to remove ourselves from other people. We may be afraid of reaching out and then being rejected. We may have physical limitations which affect our ability to get out and be around people. That's when we need to hear again Jesus' reassurance that we are connected. We are God's own beloved children. Our job is to abide in that love, to remember and trust that love, and learn to love ourselves even a fraction of how much God loves us. Then to reach out to others, if only in prayer, without any expectation of getting anything back in return. Then again, sometimes we do. Here's another story. A woman worked in a meat distribution factory, and one day when she was finishing with her shift, she went into the freezer to inspect something, but before she could reach it, the freezer door slammed shut, locked from the outside. She screamed and knocked and kicked, but no one was around to hear her. Most of the workers had already gone, and the cold room was well insulated. The woman was close to losing consciousness from hypothermia when, miraculously, the freezer door opened. A security guard saw her, first called 911, then gently brought her out of the freezing cold. After she recovered, the woman sought out that security guard and asked how he'd come to open the door. It wasn't part of his usual inspection routine. And this is what he told her. "I've been working in this factory for 35 years. Hundreds of workers come in and out every day, but you're one of the few who greet me in the morning and say goodbye to me every evening when you're leaving after work. Most people treat me as if I'm invisible. Today, as you reported for work, just like every day, you said good morning. But in the evening, after work hours, I never saw you leave, or I didn't hear you say bye, see you tomorrow. So I decided to check around the factory. I look forward to your hi and goodbye every day, because they remind me that I am someone. But when you didn't say your goodnight today, I knew something had happened. That's why I went searching for you." It may be that being connected has life or death consequences. I know that you, this Good Shepherd community, live the connected life. You are obviously fond of and connected to one another. All I have to do is stand in the narthex and hear and see how you greet one another as you come into church every Sunday with such joy. Your sense of caring is almost palpable. And so is your caring for your community. The lunch to support all your many outreach efforts. Two Sundays ago, that was such a joyous event. With the jazz ensemble accompanying our delicious meal. And today and tomorrow, the last days, we return our shopping bags to supply the Patriot Pantry at George Mason University to try to alleviate the hunger that some students suffered there. There are some of us who stay connected through prayer. They may not always be able to join us for Sunday worship, but they are no less connected. They follow the prayer lists and pray for every person by name. They hold them every day in their love. Others offer a ministry of the telephone. Calling people they know need a hello and an encouraging conversation. So, there are many ways for us to stay connected. And as we stay connected to one another, we stay connected to our truest selves. As we stay connected to one another, we stay on the vine, abiding close to the one who loves us so much.